Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. This week's service is titled Valentine's Day. Thank you to Glynis, Don, and Ed for being involved. The scripture reading is John 17, 20-26, part of Jesus' prayer before going to the Garden of Gethsemane. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you here today for the meeting of the Beamsville Church of Christ. Hope that you've had a good week this past week, and we're looking forward to having some spiritual time today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we contemplate the world's look at today in terms of Valentine's Day, we pray, Father, that we might embrace it to some degree, but also to embrace the idea that you love us and that you have shown us the example of love throughout creation and throughout the history of humanity. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, who came to this world as your ambassador and as your son and as your savior and as for an example for us as we live our lives here on this planet. We pray, Father, that you might bless us today as we have gathered together to share spiritual ideas and to draw closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much for being with us today. As I preach the sermon, it is February the 14th. It is Valentine's Day. You're going to be hearing this next week, so you've already experienced Valentine's Day, and I hope that your Valentine's Day has been a good one. And I got thinking about it this past week about the uniqueness of Valentine's Day. Where in the world did Valentine's Day actually begin? Was it some kind of mystic pagan holiday? Remember, as children, we grew up on Valentine's Day and we'd send little cute cards to one another and there'd always be treats and it was always a happy occasion, but didn't really grasp what it was all about. And in the first century, there was this unique gap between the hierarchy of the church, if you will. There was a divide between clergy and the regular people, myself, laity, just regular people coming to the church. There was this huge divide between the clergy and laity until certain people came along and changed it. One of them was a gentleman by the name of Valentine, who later developed the moniker of Saint Valentine. So my question is for all of you and myself, have you ever considered yourself a saint? And this is where I'll pause because of all the laughter. No, I've never considered myself a saint. But in the eyes of God and the Apostle Paul and other scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, we are reminded because of God himself, and specifically in the New Testament, because of Christ and his Holy Spirit, that we are given the moniker of a saint, someone who is set apart because of Christ Jesus. And I love the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Here's what he says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, now listen, to the saints in Ephesus. And I can just imagine when that letter was read to the church at Ephesus and they heard these words, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, laughter. And then he says, those faithful in Christ. Well, we're trying to be. So the book of Ephesians and several books in the Bible remind us of being set apart for Christ. So back in the medieval times, 1300s to 1500s, there was this huge gap between the hierarchy of the church, if you will, clergy, and the laity. And the laity didn't have much say, and it was the clergy who dominated all of this. And many Christians stood up for their own faith, and sometimes they were martyred because of their faith, and because they were martyred, they were given the moniker of a saint. And some of them you know, Saint Francis of Assisi. I think all of us recall that name. Saint Thomas, Saint Patrick, Saint Joseph. And there were other outstanding saints. But there were several saints by the same name, Saint Valentines. Saint Valentine from Africa, Saint Valentine from Rome, and a Saint Valentine from Italy. And they were all unique individuals who shared the gospel of Christ to the people around them, helped the poor, helped the starving, and reached out to others. And so they were given this moniker of saint. But brushing all that away, the history of it all, I love the fact that Paul just shares with us quietly. I like the fact that sometimes when Paul writes his letters, it's as if he's sitting in our living room, just chatting with us. No big theological wordage or verbiage of any kind, just sharing along the lines. And he says this, that I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus, and it's not by me. He said it's by the will of God. And that's another story. You can read about how Saul becomes Paul, and it's a really unique story in the Bible. But he says, I'm sharing this as a follower of Christ, as an apostle of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, as a Christian in Christ Jesus. I'm sharing this to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And if that's not a saint, I don't think there is one. It's this sainthood, this moniker of Christ, who puts his arms around us and welcomes us. Have you ever considered yourself a saint? Now, it's not just the New Testament that the word saint has been used. And I won't read all these scriptures, but I'll just highlight some. Many of you remember the story of Hannah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9, here's what Hannah says in her prayer. The Lord will guard the feet of his saints. Another way of saying is, the Lord will take the preachers and prophets to the places they are to go so that the message can be shared, both Old and New Testament alike. Or in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 3, as far as the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. the saints, the one who share the message of Christ. Psalm 30 and verse 4, sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. So one day, we're going to come back together again as a full church. And wherever you're hearing this message, when you gather back together again, aren't we looking forward to that? Everyone coming together and the singing of the praises of God, the saints all singing the praises of God together. It's a reminder that the saints, you and I, because of Christ Jesus, are to express our faith, not just in words, but in singing and in prayer, in communion, in all of these ways, that we're part of something that is truly unique. And I never really thought about this, that the saints of the Old Testament, the saints in the New Testament, and us today, we're all connected. So the saints in the Old Testament, who died before Christ even came into the world, and yet were set apart as saints, sometimes they had a forward look of the Messiah. What would he look like? What would he say? What would he do? And you get glimpses from the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and other. It was always a forward look. And then when Christ comes on the scene, people are wondering, is this him? Is this the one that Isaiah talked about? Is this the one that the Psalms talked about? Is this the one? Are we actually walking with the one who created all things? Is this the one? Is this the saint of saints? Is this the Christ who gives us the name saint? Is this him? So past and present and now for us today, that we look back and we're part of that sainthood. We are called saints of God because of Christ Jesus. We're not anticipating it. We are it because of Christ. And if we can't feel a sense of this amazing glory, this amazing love, then we miss the boat. Because God chose us in Christ and he gave us the name saint. Now, we don't walk around calling ourselves saint. St. John, St. Paul, St. Don, whoever. But in God's eyes, there is his blessing upon us, this sainthood that has come upon us. And I missed it for years. It's not what we do necessarily that makes us saint. It's who he is that makes us saint, who comes into our life in a very unique way. I like a lot of the Old Testament scriptures that talk about the saints. Psalm 31, love the Lord, all his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Right now, because of the pandemic, even funerals of people whom we love, we can't all gather together. We're not allowed to all come together and to share. But precious in the sight of the Lord our saints. They may not get the fanfare of a funeral, if you will, if there is such a thing, will become an honor someone who's passed. But oh, yes, they're honored. I suspect that when they close their eyes for the last time and open their eyes, oh my, it gives me goosebumps to think about it. All the saints of God welcomed home. The sainthood because of Christ. And that you and I have that sainthood. It's what Christ gives us. It's a future look in the book of Daniel. The saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever. The future look of God's kingdom. Or in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Or 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you, us, are to judge the world, that uniqueness in us. And how do we judge the world? By sharing the message of Christ. By living a life of a sainthood, someone called, set apart to live a life of Christ. And then Ephesians 1:15, your love for all the saints. And then Philemon, that wonderful, brief but powerful book, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed the hearts of all the saints. I don't remember if I ever told the story. I'm not sure who shared it the first time. But when St. Paul's Cathedral was being built, Sir Christopher Wren was the architect of that magnificent building. And one day he came to visit the site. And of course, the people who were working, whether they're a carpenter or doing mason work or whatever, they didn't know Christopher Wren. And one day Christopher Wren came just to see how things were going along. And he basically asked the question to various workers, well, what are you doing? And he asked the carpenter, what are you doing? And the carpenter explained at length, this is his job and this is what he does. And here's he's building this and it's structuring this and so forth. And he went to another person and said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, I'm doing the mason work. I'm putting in these bricks here and putting this there. Of course, nobody knew who Christopher Wren was. And then he went to another worker and said, so what are you doing? And the man stopped and he stood up and he said, what am I doing? Well, Christopher Wren and I, we're building St. Paul's Cathedral. He was talking to Christopher Wren and didn't even know who he was. But he was so connected to the occupation, the work, that he connected himself to Christopher Wren. As Christians, that's what we are doing. Who are you? What are we doing? Well, I'm connected to Christ Jesus. He's washed me of my sins. He's given me a brand new life. And he's given me the privilege to live my life in the world today to bring as much joy of God's love as I possibly can, a saint of God. It's a joyous work. It's not an onerous work. And these stories of Paul culminates in various books. So the remainder of my time, I just want to spend a little bit of time in this amazing book of Ephesus, where Paul reiterates this praise that he gives to God because of the sainthood that we receive from Christ Jesus. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is what he gives us. And so Paul reiterates that, backs that statement up three times in Ephesians chapter 1, that we are to live to the praise of his glory. And if you look at the word saint, and then you look at these words, living to the praise of God's glory, they match up, don't they? Saint, living to the praise of God's glory. And so you look at some of these saints of old, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Patrick, St. Valentine, going out into the world and being an example of Christ to the best of their ability. So I say to those of you who are here today, those of you who are listening, whenever you're listening to this, that along with St. Francis of Assisi, that along with St. Paul and St. Peter, there is St. Glynis, there is St. Lynn, there is St. Barbara, there is St. Ed, there is St. Dave, there's even Saint Don, believe it or not, and there's all saints. We're saints in the eyes of God, and we just don't want to even think about such a thing. And yet that's who God calls us, living to the praise of his glory. And so he says, for this very reason, ever since I heard about your faith and the love of Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, that's verse 15, your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom, we need that, of understanding revelation, so that you may know him better. I was reading an autobiography recently about Helen Keller. You may remember that name. She was a wonderful woman who taught, shared many lessons in life, and she was blind. And here's what she said. The saddest person in the world is the person who can see but has no vision. And I think maybe there are others who think the same way. I miss the part about being a saint. It's because of Christ who anoints us with his indwelling, living in us, so that the overflow of his love will flow from us to others. No wonder John 3:16 is one of the great scriptures in all the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that everlasting life isn't just future, 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 but everlasting means it makes sense every day. Every single day it makes sense. It is an everlasting truth. God's love, who gives us this moniker of saint, that we're one in Christ because of this. So let me conclude today this message, also being in the book of Ephesians. And then he says this, remember that maybe formerly you who were Gentiles by birth, by those who called themselves that, done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law in his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create to himself one new person out of the two. That our life isn't just Don or Ed or Dave or Lynn or Glennis. It's not just them, but it's all of us with him. He comes into our life. Again, how would you feel if somebody called you a saint?
Not me.
No, there's someone who lives inside you who is the saint of saints. He has set you apart because of Christ Jesus. And he welcomes all to come together in him. Your love, Philemon says, has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed the hearts of all the saints. So let me conclude, as I have the last several times I've spoken, and that is that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and people are lonely and they're hurting, and it's pretty easy to turn inward. So my encouragement for all people is to reach out to one another, text people, email people, call, and don't ever sit at home thinking, well, nobody contacts me. Call people, reach out to people, connect with people. Jesus came into the world and he didn't isolate himself. And we become Christians because of him, and he doesn't want us to isolate ourselves. He wants us to know that he lives in us for his purpose and glory, and that we can reach out to one another. Reach out this week. Share with people. Because of Christ Jesus, you are the saint of saints. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Glynis Fleming, and today is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And for those of us who are not romantically involved with anyone, it might be Happy Galentine's Day. So hopefully that has been a good time for you to celebrate the connections that we have with people. When Adam sent me the, what Dawn was going to talk about today, it was going to be Valentine's. Of course, he didn't send me all his notes or anything. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Valentine's. And it occurred to me, in a way, that communion is God's Valentine to us. And so that got me thinking. I was shopping yesterday, and you know, Valentines are actually, you know, you can buy a whole pile of them in a box, 32 with including one for the teacher, you know, maybe, I don't know, $5, $6, $7, $8. And if you went today, they're probably half price, so you can get them really cheaply. Send a whole pile of them out to everybody. And if you remember, you probably had a class list and you either did it yourself or made sure that your kids included one for everybody, just, you know, because you don't want to leave anybody out. So you might not even like that person, but you send them one because it's kind of duty, right? So that got me thinking that the Valentine that we get from God in communion is definitely not the cheap old Shoppers Drug Mart brand of Valentine. And it's not just something that's given out of duty. Romans 5, verses 6 to 10 says, "You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" 1 Corinthians 11, in verses 17 to 34, talks about the Lord's Supper and gives some directions to the Corinthians. One of the things that that the author says, not to eat the bread or drink the cup in an unworthy manner, in verse 27. He says that we are to discern the body of Christ and to discern with regard to ourselves. What's discernment? Discernment is described by yourdictionary.com as the ability to notice the fine point details, the ability to judge something well, or the ability to understand and comprehend something. Noticing the distinctive details in a painting and understanding what makes art good and bad is an example of discernment. The Valentine that we get from God is not cheap. It was bought with the dearest currency that we have, a life. Our Valentine from God isn't thoughtless and given to everyone out of duty. It's given to each of us very seriously and with deep sacrificial love that requires us to seriously respond by noticing the details of both the love poured out for us and of our life lived in response to that love. That's how we give proper respect to the Valentine, to communion. So join me in prayer if you would. God, we do pray for the bread, and we pray for We pray for the drink that we're given to drink. God, we're so thankful for this reminder, this Valentine, that reminds us so dearly how much you love us. God, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would give us a new life, a new chance, a new existence to be someone amazing for you, to be a saint, to be the person to live to the praise of God's glory. God, we thank you so much. God, as we take the bread, as we drink the drink, please fill us with your hope, with your desire to be all that you ask us to be. God, we thank you. We're so grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, about 50 years ago, I was working in a factory in Brampton, Butcher Engineering Enterprises, and we painted car parts, and it was a messy place and a smelly place, and it employed a lot of really interesting characters, of which probably I was one of them. Well, one day, a Portuguese young woman came, and she was standing next to me, and she said, "Oh, I just love Alberto." And I said, "Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you love Alberto? What is it that you love about Alberto?" Well, this young woman didn't know what to say. She just says, "Oh, he just makes me feel good." Okay, so how does that exactly happen? I'm afraid sometimes that we don't have the language of love. We don't know how to express love. You know that you can say almost the same words and have completely different reaction to those words based upon how you deliver the words to a person. Okay, I'll give you a simple example. So you're with a friend, you're hoping to be romantically inclined to them, and you say to them, "You know, every time I look into your eyes, time stands still." Okay, you could deliver the same message by saying, "You know what? When I look at you, you have a face that would stop a clock." Now, in both cases, it's about time. And it's almost the same message, but you get a completely different reaction to it. So learning the language of love. So Don talked about Ephesians today. And in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, begin in verse 21, there is this key phrase that's so important in establishing the language of love. And that the verse says, "Submit to each other out of reverence for Christ." Then it talks about husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves. He's talking to all of those people in that church and all of those people in that church are going to connect with, because they were all in that situation. They were either married, they were either children, or they were slaves. Basically, slaves are masters. So he's talking to all of these people, and he's telling them how to get along and how to present the gospel. So if you're a wife, you need to learn to submit. If you're a husband, you need to love. Love how? Love like Jesus sacrificed himself and died for the church. Now, it doesn't say there husbands, submit to your wives. But it says love them like Christ submitted to the and died for the church. I think that's submission. He says to children, honor and obey your parents. Why? Because in that situation, you're going to help your parents become believers and stay believers. And he says to parents, don't exasperate your children. So what's the language of exasperation? It's anger, it's contentiousness, it's I don't trust you. Why does he say don't exasperate them? Because he wants parents to treat their children in a way that they will love the Lord. He says to masters, do not, you know, treat your slaves fairly. Why? Because if you're a Christian master, you want that message of the gospel to go to those people who are your slaves. And then he says to the slaves, work hard for your masters. If you're a slave and you're a Christian and you work hard, you're an example to your master. You're cooperative and you're doing the best that you can. So the language of love, I think, is based in somewhat on this idea of submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ. And in that, we learn the language of love. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for our time together today. We're thankful for the message that Don brought to us and that Glynis brought to us around the table. And we pray, Father, that you might emphasize in our hearts and in our minds that your Spirit might help us to know how to relate to each other with the language of love, because it's through this language that we're encouraged to be your people and we're encouraged to be believers in you. We're thankful, Father, for the relationships that we have in our lives, and we pray, Father, that you'll help us to be thoughtful in those relationships, that they might support the language of love and that they might support the language of the gospel. And to this end, this week, we pray that you'll be with us, that this might happen in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because of the provincial lockdown, in-person services are canceled until further notice. Please check our Facebook page for the most current updates. You can learn more about the congregation at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.